Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Iron Men of American Drug-Free Powerlifting Federation. I'm one of your hosts, Bill Sias.
And I am Mike Stagg. I'm president of the ADFPF. Thanks for joining us.
This is the official ADFPF radio show where you can get information about our organization, as well as information on strength and how to be a better powerlifter. Be sure you follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ADFPF. We're also on Instagram at instagram.com/ADFPF. You can also check out everything you needed to know about our organization, upcoming meets, requirements for meets, etc., at our website, adfpf.net or adfpf.org. It's the same website, just two paths to get there. The ADFPF is a 501c3 nonprofit organization formed to provide all amateur athletes with legitimate drug-tested powerlifting. Strongman, woman, and Highland Games competition through local, state, regional, and national championships while encouraging the growth of international amateur drug-free competition. To ensure that the ADFPF, as well as all ADF competitors, are governed with integrity and by the highest standards of meet structure, officiating, and organizational administration. Donations to the ADFPF may be tax-deductible. You can join the ADFPF by going to adfpf.net/membership. A side note for anyone listening live, Blog Talk cuts off your listening at 15 minutes. We may run over that time, but you can hear the additional footage at the archive show, which is found at the same link as you are at now. Today's theme is the history of the ADFPF. But first, we're going to start this show by telling you a little bit about ourselves. Mike, how'd you get started in powerlifting?
Okay. Thanks, Bill. Well, for powerlifting, back when I was in high school as a teenager, I wanted to start strength training for wrestling. So I joined a local gym that had a good reputation, and actually a family friend of ours had actually worked out there and suggested it. So I joined the Pitt Barbell Club, and the coaches there, Dick Connors and Bud Dowen, put together a training program for me to just do a circuit-type training exercises for wrestling. After I was down there for a while and training, I guess I was lifting more than what might be considered average for my age and weight at the time. And the powerlifting coach, Dick Connors, asked me if I would be interested in actual competition powerlifting. So I said yes and started training. 1982, had my first contest, the Indiana Junior State Championship. I did okay in that and continued to grow. 2 years later, I won the teenage national title in Chicago. And from there, just continued to compete at all levels of powerlifting and stay involved with it. Throughout my career, I've lifted in just about every organization that is out there at one time or another. And more recently, as I matured and got older, I started to get more involved with the administration side of powerlifting with Judy Gedney. And then as I progressed in that, Judy asked me if I would be willing to take over as president of the American Drug-Free Powerlifting Federation. I believe that would have been in about 2010. And so since that time, I have been functioning as the president of the American Drug-Free Powerlifting Federation. So thanks. And Bill, how about your background?
Well, I co-own and manage a gym named the Bar and Plate. This is my second gym. I am managed both and strength coach of both. My father, when I was a child, was a professional wrestler, though I don't follow professional wrestling. So weights were always around. We always worked out in many ways wrong, but that's okay. I was introduced to weights at a very early age. In high school and in college, I trained to improve my wrestling. Mike and I share the fact that we were both wrestlers. At the time when I was in high school and college, training with weights was considered wrong in that you would become muscle bound, but I saw evidence to the contrary. Shortly after that, I switched to bodybuilding and at the same time worked for a company called Randall's Health Foods in Lansing, Michigan. My job with Randall's was to pose a lot because I was a pretty big guy at the time. And my first introduction to powerlifting was at a powerlifting meet sponsored by Randall Health Foods. I remember watching the guys lift and thought I could outlift them. About 6 months later, I competed in my first and discovered I was incorrect. Anyway, I've continued to lift throughout most of my life with a few breaks along the way due to some injuries and some health issues. A few years ago, I was introduced to the ADFBF, liked what I saw and what they stood for, and not long after that became first technology officer for the Federation, then the records officer, and eventually the vice president in charge of taking care of the day-to-day stuff that goes on with running an organization like this. So basically that's where I'm at. So Mike, despite the fact that you and I are despite the fact that you are exactly 15 years younger than me, we were both born on September 30th, but I was in high school when he was born. You've been involved with organized powerlifting longer than I have. How did the ADF get to be where it is today?
Okay, so I'll give a little bit of background on the ADFPF, and it's difficult to give background on how we got to where we are today in the ADFPF without really starting at least briefly at the beginning of powerlifting, because as what may be a surprise to a lot of people, you're going to find that the ADFPF, as you trace it back, is actually the longest organization as far as how long it's been in existence as you follow its roots back. So in the 70s, powerlifting really started to become more of an organized competitive sport. So what prior to that, powerlifting was contested as events known as the odd lifts. And over time, it evolved into what we know today as powerlifting. Originally, it started as a prison sport and grew out of there. And at some point, maybe we can have a whole show on talking about just how the sport of powerlifting actually evolved. But powerlifting originally started, and most of the meets, at least the larger meets, were sanctioned by the Amateur Athletic Union, or the AAU, as most people know them. Eventually, as powerlifting continued to grow, an international affiliation was formed, which today is still the IPF. And the U.S. affiliate to that was the United States Powerlifting Federation, or for those old enough to remember, the USPF. And back in those days, that was really it. There were no other federations. The meets tended to be very large, which had its good points and bad points as we look at meets today. So it was nice in that respect. When you went to a meet, there was lots of competitors in your class. It was very competitive. But the one thing that started coming on really strong in the late 70s and early 80s was the strength performance drugs getting involved in the sport. And it was making a very strong presence in the sport, especially at the national level. And for those who have followed the sport, if you take two top lifters that are both skilled and one of them is taking strength enhancing substances, it makes a significant difference. And then there's also health concerns and lots of other things that go with that. And so but there really wasn't a venue for athletes to compete where it was on a level playing field, being drug tested and all of that. So in the early 80s, the ADFPA, American Drug Free Powerlifting Association, was formed by Brother Bennett. And the ADFPA definitely hit a niche where there was definitely a drug testing category needed, and people flocked to it very strongly. And the ADFPA grew very quickly. Within a couple of years, the International Federation was formed, the World Drug Free Powerlifting Federation, which still exists today as the WDFPF. And throughout the 90s, I think the culture tended to favor the ADFPA, and it continued to grow. As you remember, for those that are old enough to remember, back in the 80s, during Ronald Reagan's presidency, there was a very strong push with the Just Say No to Drugs, and it became sort of a taboo thing to do. People didn't really want others to know they were doing it, even if they were. So the ADFPA grew very rapidly, and by the late 80s had essentially overtaken the USPF at that time in membership, and the USPF was hurting. They were struggling to find their spot. You know, they couldn't decide if they were drug tested or not drug tested or kind of drug tested. And as the USPF membership went down, the IPF also started to suffer because so many of the U.S. lifters were now going to the WDFPF's World Championships by virtue of the ADFPA. So in the late 80s, the USPF was in serious trouble. Somewhere in that time frame, they actually, I believe, started to cease as an organization. It may have taken several years after that for them to formally fold. But in the meantime, the IPF was essentially left without a strong U.S. affiliate. At that time, and I don't want to get into the politics of the discussions that happened on the board of the ADFPA at that time, but there are varying opinions on that, and that might be a topic for a future date. But at the time, those in control of at least the majority of control in the ADFPA decided that they wanted to terminate their affiliation with the World Drug Free Powerlifting Federation and become the U.S. affiliate to the International Powerlifting Federation, or the IPF. And when that happened, the ADFPA as an organization was dissolved, and it was reformed as USAPL, which is the largest organization in the U.S. today. But that is how the USAPL actually started. They were actually split from the ADFPA when they became the IPF affiliate. So when that happened, there were a few of the people involved at the board level of both the ADFPA, and some of those people were also heavily affiliated with the WDFPF at the international level at that time, who did not agree with the splitting and the reaffiliation with the IPF. There are some fundamental differences in philosophy that the WDFPF and IPF grew up with, and so I believe that those were concerns that some of the board members had, and so they decided they needed to continue the ADFPA in some form as a WDFPF affiliate. So they formed the ADFPF at that time and continued to be the WDFPF affiliate. However, after the split, the ADFPF was not very strong, and it had few members. So it took a few years for the ADFPF to really get its feet back under it. And a lot of that thanks really goes to Judy Dedney. You know, she really did a great job keeping everything going there. And somewhere, I would say, in the early 2000s, the ADFPF finally started getting its act together to get the meet back running. Somewhere around 2005, they act from 2005 onward have always had the single event and full power nationals as the main qualifying meets for the World Drug Free Powerlifting Federation, and from there it's just continued to grow to what you see today. I took over the ADFPF as president in about 2010, and I believe since 2010 onwards, the organization has continued to grow. We've put a lot of things in place that were not there in the early days. For example, world records could not originally be set at our national championships due to some variations in drug testing protocols and also the availability of international judges. We've since addressed both of those. All of our drug testing protocols now comply with WADA standards that the WDFPF requires, and all of our judges at our national events are internationally certified by the WDFPF. So, Bill, hopefully that's a short history of kind of how we came about from back in the 70s to where we are today, and I'll turn it back over to you.
Well, that's pretty interesting. I actually learned a couple of things there, and I thought I knew the history of this federation extremely well. We're going to kind of start to wrap it up. This is our maiden voyage here, so we're going to end a little early today. We appreciate everyone tuning into the show and want to invite you to our next show, where we're going to discuss rules, referees, and drug testing. You can listen to our show live every Sunday evening here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll post the link on Facebook and on the website, so you'll be able to find us. The ADFPF also has a weekly email update on our website, and you can subscribe to that by scrolling down to the bottom of the event calendar page at adfpf.net/meet-calendar. We'd also like to encourage our listeners to submit questions to us based on the current week's theme. We'll answer as many as we can at the end of the show. Send your questions to us on Facebook, or you can send it through the contact link on the webpage. Again, our Facebook page is facebook.com/ADFPF. So until next week, I'm Bill Sias. Remember, the bar is loaded.
And I am Mike Stagg. Be strong.
Oh, 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 oh. Everybody was kung fu.